The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
The Burt Show.
Q100 and The Burt Show. It is 9:12. In a couple of seconds here, we'll talk to Mandy and Brian. They've had a dream to travel the world together. They're not married. And they're going to travel. Like, even if you take a weekend with somebody you're just going out with, I think getting through that weekend speaks volumes about your relationship.
If you can travel well together.
If you can travel well together, you can do okay.
You have to, yeah. You have to have a trip together to really know. Like I always say in a new relationship, you have to have your first fight just to see how you fight. And you have to have a first trip. So you kind of get, instead of, that's where the politeness kind of comes down.
Like
when you first date, you're showing your, you're giving your best foot forward or whatever. And so you're trying to be polite and sweet and say the right thing or whatever. But on a trip, you're worn down. You can't do it. And when you finally argue, then you kind of get some realness going on.
And it's all about give and take, too. One person generally wants to do one thing. The other person doesn't want to do it. And you have to give and take all the time. If you can travel well together, you'll be all right. So they have a dream to travel around the world together. And we just may be following along with them. All right, Mandy, Brian, you guys there?
Yeah, hey.
How you guys doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. All right, Mandy, it's been a while since we talked to you. So just refresh us a little bit on exactly why you guys haven't taken this trip yet and how long y'all been going out.
Brian and I have been together probably about a year and a half now. And when we started dating, he had this idea of he wanted to travel, and I thought it was a great idea, so I just kind of tagged along. And as our relationship progressed, we got kind of serious about, okay, we're together when we're really going to do this. And so we had planned to leave back in September, and a few months before then, I kind of chickened out and thought, oh, my God, I have so much I'm leaving behind. This is big. And I completely chickened out. And so we got, you know, he... thought he was going to go when we broke up for a little bit, and then he decided to stay, and we got back together, and then a little bit later I thought, you know, I still want to do this. I'm going to regret it if we don't. Let's just do it. So we're now working towards getting rid of our stuff and getting out of here hopefully in May.
All right, Brian.
May.
Wow, so it's coming up quick. Brian, is there anything you want to add to the history of the relationship?
No, I think that pretty much covers it.
How long were you all broken up?
Maybe just a couple of months, right? Yeah.
For what reason?
Because I was still going to go, and she decided to stay here.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And you just said, you know, you're getting things ready to go. What do you do? What's the process in getting ready for a trip around the world?
Oh, man. Like, there's so many things that you just don't even think about. Like, the first thing you think about is, well, I got to get rid of all my stuff, and I got to save up money. Like, that's what everybody thinks about. But then, now we're dealing with... You know, I'm trying to track down yellow fever vaccine, and we need to get travel insurance and all this other random stuff. You know, we got to, like, set up an account to pool our money for the trip and that sort of thing.
Do you guys have it mapped out where you're going to start and where you're going to end?
We haven't mapped out where we're going to start, but I think kind of the appeal of the trip is that it's sort of not set in stone.
Mm-hmm.
Like, right now, we're sort of planning a few days around May 10th, somewhere in there, catching a flight to Singapore and starting in Southeast Asia and then seeing where that takes us.
We got to get you guys in touch with Susie. I mean, we did this same thing a couple of years ago with Around the World Susie, who was traveling the world as a single woman all by herself. And we followed her. Each week, she would call in from a different corner of the earth, and we would talk to her about what's going on. Traveling as a woman, and what we want to do with these guys is do the same thing, because it's a little different angle here. Because like we said before, traveling together, man, that brings up issues quick, mm-hmm. really quick.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and it's what we're doing is kind of different from just taking a vacation. Like, a vacation's just nice and relaxing, and everything's kind of already planned, but we have to haggle every day for where are we going to stay and where are we going to go tomorrow. So, yeah, we definitely had to have a lot of talks about, well, what if I want to do this? Or is it okay if I buy stuff and, you know, and had to, how are we going to compromise on this?
I definitely want to follow you guys doing that.
Yeah. Well, why do I have a feeling like a couple of months into this, Ryan is staying and Mandy's hosting the show with us.
Coming back.
No, someone's going to be living in my house and someone else will have my job. So I don't really have anywhere to come back to. Once I get rid of everything, I'm kind of gone.
Yeah, the last time we talked to you, I think we were waiting for you to sell the house, and that mm-hmm. was the last piece of the puzzle. And when you did that, then you guys could start taking this thing a little bit more seriously. So it appears as though that's happening now.
Well, we don't want to jinx it.
I really hate to jinx it, but it does seem that we have a renter for the house.
Okay.
They've applied, and I've accepted the application, and hopefully this week we're going to be signing a lease, and they're going to move in either April 15th or May 1st or sometime within that time span. So hopefully that will fall into place completely with the contract in the next few days.
Okay.
Okay.
The obvious question here also is, have you guys traveled a lot together already?
Not really.
No.
Where have you gone together?
Miami.
I mean, you know, we've spent, you know, a few days here and there in, like, Boston, and we did the cruise thing.
That's good. So that, you have been on a couple trips together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nothing That's really good. Where they've had to struggle together, though, and
sure,
stuff
but
like
at
that,
least they have
everything.
Traveled together. This won't be their first trip away.
Right.
Yeah.
And how were those trips like? Is it where you guys were each paying your own way, or were you truly traveling as a unit where the money was pooled and all that?
Well, what we're doing actually, like I'm going to do it today, is we're just setting up a checking account, and it's going to be a joint account, and we just put in equal amounts of money.
Mm-hmm.
And everything we buy on the trip comes out of that.
Okay.
The easiest way to do it, rather than, well, you know, I paid for this, you need to pay for that now, and then you're $10 ahead, whatever.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
That's good for us.
That's really good for
that's
us.
That's going to be good stuff right there.
Yeah.
Don't be pessimistic.
No,
I'm just saying it makes good drama.
We're going to have fun with that.
The one thing that I think a trip that couples can take that can really test their patience with each other is, like, have you ever camped together?
Yes, we have camped together.
Okay. And how did that go?
I think that was fine. I mean, the only problem is, I will take the blame for this, I picked a really cool park, but I didn't realize that the camping part is nowhere near as cool as, like, the day trails.
Mm-hmm.
So we hiked in thinking we were going to have all this time to play and explore these really cool canyons.
Mm-hmm.
And where the campsites are, it's kind of far away from that. So it was basically kind of in the middle of the woods. And so we just had a lot of time to sit around and hang out, like, at our campsite. So let's play Yahtzee again. But
which is a great story to tell.
Side.
And that's a great story to tell, and one that you can deal with when you know that you're going to be home on Monday morning.
Yeah.
But if you're 7 months into a year-long, you know, traveling campaign and that happens, the attitude may be a little bit different.
What I think
it's going to be fine.
I think is going to be fun to listen to, although I'm sure it will not be an issue, though, is with the joint checking account or the joint, you know, dollar amounts, so you guys are sharing everything, you're going to go to a hotel that one of you is going to think it's too expensive. Or you're going to have a meal, or like if one of you goes out separate from the other and comes home with a really great souvenir from that joint account that you each put money in, so you're each going to have a say. Like, are you negotiating the terms of who spends what before you leave? Or,
well, yeah, we've kind of talked about that a bit. I mean, that is going to be an issue, sure. But we figured out, you know, all right, you know, if I have this beer, you can buy that cheap souvenir. And, you know, twice a week we need to stay in a nicer place so we can shower, that sort of thing.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But
do you have a daily budget?
Not really.
Depends on where we are, really. I mean, like, in Southeast Asia, the budget's going to be a lot lower than if we end up in, like, Eastern Europe or something.
Mm-hmm.
So it may just kind of change depending on, like, what the going rate is. We just agreed to try to just be as cheap as possible.
Right.
Yeah, and it's hard to figure out, like, how much you're going to spend just reading the Lonely Planet guide, you
mm-hmm.
know?
Sure.
Like, get there, and it's different.
Monica has some advice for you. Hey, Monica, you're on Q100.
Good morning, y'all. I love your show.
Thank you.
This is very exciting for them. And I just wanted to share a tip about traveling that you may not have thought about. Now, he did mention travel insurance.
Mm-hmm.
There's a company that I have heard of. I don't know much about them, but I've heard of them. They're called AirMed, And if you're traveling the world and something happens to you, like let's say you break your leg or you get really sick or who knows what could happen in any of these countries, like he was saying, yellow fever, all this stuff, they will actually fly you home to the States for your medical care, which to me is priceless, no matter what it costs. And I don't think it's very expensive, but I had just heard of it last year, and I thought, man, if I ever go on a world trip, I'm going to totally get this insurance. And I just wanted to share that with you in case you wanted to check it out.
Yeah, Susie was telling us that she ran into that, too. I mean, there are some places in the world where they are literally performing dentistry in the streets. I think she said it was Calcutta. So to have that kind of insurance and that kind of peace of mind and safety net, that might be something you guys want to look into.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely.
That's a big part of travel insurance. We were looking at MedX, but it's the same sort of thing as AirMed. You know, it's like minor local coverage, or if it's a severe event, we'll fly you home.
Mandy, how does your family feel about you traveling?
You know, honestly, they're not big fans.
No,
really? No.
Well, they like me. They know that I love to travel, and so they love me going on short trips because I can go and take pictures and come back and tell them about it. But this one, I think it's a little harder because I'm going to be gone for so long, and I keep trying to tell them, if this was someone else's kid, you'd probably think this was really cool. And they've kind of admitted right. that it's cool and it's adventurous. But in that selfish, you know, kind of thing of, and mom and dad, I'm not calling selfish, but, you know, in that selfish kind of, we want you here with us sort of thing. And also just worrying about me. So
do they have problems with
around to it, but not big fans.
They have issues with Brian?
No, they both love Brian. And my dad, even last night when I was talking to him, he said something about be careful or be safe. And I said, well, Brian's, you know, going to take really good care of me. And my dad said, I know, and that's part of why. You know, I feel better about this, and I feel okay with this because I know you'll be with him.
From the tornado.
That's cool.
I would eventually love my 5.5-year-old when he gets older to travel and see the world, but I know that I'll have the same kind of insecurity that your folks have. I mean, you're just so out of control of the situation, and I think your kids are always your kids. And you're always going to worry, you know?
Well, and I keep telling, and this is the distance of how long we're going to go without seeing each other. So I keep telling them, you know, meet me somewhere, and so that way, you know, they get to travel and see their daughter.
It's a good idea. It's something to look forward to, too. Mm-hmm.
Have we established that this is a year-long trip, or is this open-ended?
Actually, we're saying like a year and a half.
Wow. Okay. Man, that is a long time. You know, when I was just in Chile a couple of weeks ago, and I met people that had been traveling for 3 years. I don't know how they could do it.
I wish we had that kind of money. Because we're kind of open-ended and, you know, we'll do it until we get tired of it or our money runs out. But, yeah, we're saying like a year or two. Mm-hmm.
Do you already know about big events that you're going to miss, like friends' weddings or babies that are set to be born, things like that?
Nothing definite, but I do have a friend that's trying to get pregnant. And so I'm like, oh, no, I'm going to feel really terrible if she gets pregnant and I miss the pregnancy and the baby.
How about you, Brian? Is there anything there?
Not that I know of. Okay. Oh, wait, no, actually, I just found out last week one of my own buddies is having a kid. But
you don't really care about that, yeah.
Well, she lives in St. Louis anyway, so it's like, you guys don't really get into the whole baby thing.
You get to meet the kid when he's 7. Don't worry about it.
You're like, whatever.
All right, let's touch base with you guys again in a couple of weeks. I think the next step here is when you get that contract signed, then we'll start to work on our end also. Like, we'll call Verizon Wireless because they were the ones that helped us out last time, and hopefully they will this time also. And we'll get you guys a phone or a couple of phones, and where you travel, we'll just follow along with you guys, and you can blog for us, and we'll do the same thing that we did with Susie if you guys are up on it.
Sure.
If you're talking to Verizon, see if you can get us out of our contract, too.
All right, let me see if I can pull some strings for you. It's going to take somebody more than me to do that for you.
Yeah.
That's funny.
We are also going to link on over to their website right now. You guys have redone the website, haven't you?
Yeah, I'm still working on adding the slideshow, but we don't really have any travel pictures yet. So,
okay. And it's mandyandbrian.com, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, we have a link on over to it from our website. All right, why don't you guys give us a call when you've got the renter in the house and you're 100% sure you're taking off.
Okay.
All right. When we buy our tickets, we'll let you know.
Okay. Is there anything that we can do for you guys on our end? You need anything else?
We have a cat to get rid of.
A cat?
Yeah, that's true. We got to get Dewey adopted.
Bert loves cats.
Yeah, just bring it over to Bert's house.
Forget.
Oh, that's perfect for you, Bert.
Bert, that is such a sweet offer you just made to them.
Oh, totally. Aww. What's your kitty cat's name?
His name is Dewey. We didn't actually name him. I'm supposed to just be his foster mom.
Uh-huh.
And it kind of seems that the agency that I'm fostering him through has kind of forgotten about him. And so I'm really afraid that if we give him back, they're just going to, I don't know what they're going to do with
Yeah.
him.
Well, Bert would never let that happen. So Dewey has a safe
Well, the first
place.
Thing I'll do is I'll rename him Windsor Parkway because that's where he's going to be living.
Oh, no. Oh, dude.
Oh.
Dewey.
We'll find somebody to take your cat.
Okay, great.
Okay. Just give us a call back when you guys are 100% sure,
no,
okay?
No, I don't want you to give her that offer.
What, to find the cat?
Because
it's not
going
to be me, I promise
we
you
were
that.
Joking, but there's an animal rights issue here.
If it was a dog,
right.
I'd entertain the idea.
A cat's rights issue.
Tori wanted them to know that it's insuremytrip.com is the website that you can go to. If you're going to do some traveling, they'll fly you back to the States if anything happens to you.
The Bert Show.
All right, we know we got a lot of teachers that listen this early in the morning, and I was on AJC.com a couple of days ago, and I saw this debate starting to brew, and I thought it was pretty interesting because I'd never really thought of it this way before. But the debate is, do male teachers face a double standard? And here's what was written. Few people raise an eyebrow if a female teacher talks with a student alone. When it happens with a male teacher, yeah, the situation can be misconstrued. I've heard male middle and high school teachers say they try to never be alone with a student. Some invite a female colleague into the room or move the conversation into the hallway. If they must be alone with a student, many male teachers leave the door open. Some say they stand near the doorway so it doesn't look like something clandestine is going on. Male elementary school teachers, particularly those in kindergarten, face different challenges. At that young age, children are quick to hug. Female teachers hug back with little hesitation. Male teachers say they're more likely to give pats on the back or on the head. Many female kindergarten teachers will help kids with problematic snaps and zippers and helps kid change their pants if they have an accident. The male kindergarten teachers I've met said they don't do that because it could be misinterpreted. Mm-hmm. Instead, they ask a female paraprofessional to step in. As a society, do we trust female teachers more than we trust male teachers? And why? Was the question.
I think that's just an overall theme because I bet even fathers, I can imagine, of daughters as they grow older probably are a lot more self-conscious about things than mothers are. I just think in general, you know, men probably always have to think that in the back of their mind because all it takes is one accusation,
right?
And then their reputation's done.
Sure.
That's true. I hadn't even thought about that. But
me
yeah,
either.
You see female teachers as being maternal in that way, but male teachers, I'm sure, that would raise an eyebrow.
Well, and here's the strangest thing now is that now it seems more than ever, you're starting to see female teachers that are the ones that are accused mm-hmm. of this kind of behavior. It's generally with like high school boys.
Right.
But it sure seems like we're seeing that way more than we see guys now.
Mm-hmm. You guys remember what happened to Matt Dillon in the movie Wild Things, which I think is a true story.
I do.
At least the pool scene was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With Denise Richards and Neve Campbell washing his car.
And this is why a lot of times men aren't trusted.
I think it's crap because every time I walk into a room with a girl and shut the door, she opens it back up and blows a whistle and sprays me with mace. And I've done nothing to deserve
that.
Ashley, you're on Q100. Good morning.
911.
What's going on, Bert Show?
What's up, man?
Nothing much. I'm actually an elementary school teacher, and I teach fourth grade, and I have to make sure that I have another adult within ear distance, within earshot, if I happen to discipline a child, male or female. I've been teaching for like 3 years now, and it's almost like you have to be proactive. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but it's almost like you have to always be on, which means you have to always be aware of every single thing. You can't have a natural situation, which sometimes are the best when you're in an educational environment. But you have to always be almost artificial and robotic. Mm-hmm.
Is it school policy that if you have to keep a girl after class or whatever, and you're going to talk to her one on one, that there has to be a woman there in the room with you?
Yeah.
Really? And I wonder
if you know what? I'm not sure if it's actually school policy, but it's been said to me by my administrator.
Probably just a good. They may not make it an official policy because that might be. You might be able to argue sexism or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I think they could probably, on a one-on-one basis, say to all the guy teachers, "Hey, for your own sake."
But I wonder if they're doing it to the women teachers also.
I think it's more relevant to the guy teachers.
I don't see that happening. I don't see that happening in my situation. I've seen women teachers alone. If let's say if I want to maybe keep a child from this because, you know, maybe they were misbehaving or some situation. And I want to let my kids go out of recess and with another teacher and not stay inside with that child. That's not ever going to happen, ever.
Right.
No, that's not ever happening. So I'll end up going out with another child, with other teachers' children, and, you know, let her stay in.
Ben, I think, is going to say the same thing. Hey, Ben.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
I definitely am never going to initiate any contact. I teach second grade, and some of my students, you know, they definitely want to come up and hug you in the morning or anything, and definitely don't want to initiate any contact just so nothing is said.
So if they come and hug you, you can hug back, though, right?
Well, you know, actually, in college, especially when we were doing our student teaching and stuff, they said don't ever initiate contact because that's when you get in trouble.
But what Jen said is if you're standing at the head of the class and, you know, the first student of the day runs to the door and sees you and is like, Mr. Burt, and comes up and wraps their arms around your legs, what do you do?
Generally, just, you know, maybe a pat on the back and you kind of try and step away, just to protect yourself.
That's so sad.
And you don't see the female teachers doing the same thing, right?
A female teacher will definitely give them a hug and, you know, it's crazy, but, you know, we really do have to protect ourselves.
Sure.
Never thought of that.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. In my elementary school, the first male teacher I had wasn't until the sixth grade. So it was all female teachers until then. So I was trying to think if I ever witnessed that myself. Mm-hmm. And by the time, you know, we weren't running in the class hugging by the sixth grade. So.
Hey, Sonia, you're on Q100. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
Everybody. I love you guys.
You sound like a teacher.
Good morning, class.
Very much. I actually wanted to comment about the female being trusted more because I think you guys need to understand that naturally we have that motherly instinct with the kids. And if we have that passion, it absolutely comes out naturally. And we don't have those second thoughts like generally, and forgive me, male have. I know that, you know, forgive me, the males, you know, the men. I'm sure that there are some awesome male teachers out there. But lately we have had a lot of abuse with the men and in general. So I think absolutely the females need to be, you know, they're trusted more. And I think it's absolutely perfectly understood.
So if I'm reading you right, what you're saying is that women can be trusted more than men because men have more sexual thoughts per day than women do?
I didn't want to say that, but since you brought it up, that's what I was thinking.
I think that's a crazy theory. I think that's a crazy theory when it comes to little kids.
Well, but we have seen so much abuse generally with male because, I mean, I don't want to put you guys down or anything. I'm telling you again, there are some wonderful male teachers.
Before you, because I know you're trying to fool us with the accent, that you're all smart and whatnot. But if you go, if you Google it and you'd spend some time on the news, you'll see over the past couple of years, several cases of female teachers taking advantage of their younger male students. And like the Mary Kay Letourneau, the girl down in Tampa is the one who comes to mind because she was pretty hot. Like, remember we were talking about
there
that.
There was just another one yesterday.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So,
okay, Jeff, I know that you totally mean that I'm trying to be smart, but no, I'm not trying to be smart. I've been a teacher for 6 years, and I do elementary and high school.
Right, but I'm just saying, how can you say that men have more thoughts and men shouldn't be teachers for that reason when...
She didn't say they shouldn't be teachers.
I never said that males shouldn't be teachers. Mm-hmm. I clarified and said that I'm sure there are some wonderful male teachers. It's just that, I mean, Bert was the one that brought it up and said about those sexual thoughts. I didn't.
Well, that's what you were saying. You just didn't say the words. But you're saying your theory is that men naturally are more sexual, so women as teachers would be more trustworthy around their students.
Yeah, but again, some male are also good. But yes, I'm sorry. The sexual thoughts are more there for male naturally.
That's hard to generalize, yeah. Though. I mean, I would almost give her more credibility if we were just talking about high school, but because those girls are older, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And, like, maybe the potential for those thoughts to be there, but elementary school?
Well, we're not just talking about elementary school in the conversation, but I don't know what she was doing. But let me ask the guys, if you had, for your children... when it comes to teachers, would you be more comfortable with your child having a personal conference with a female teacher or a male teacher, or would it even enter your mind?
Doesn't matter to me at all. Now, I don't have girls. I've got two boys. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that changes the equation at all, but as far as my kids go and the boys, it doesn't matter to me.
Mm-hmm.
Good morning. Whitney is on the Voice Disguiser. Hi, Whitney.
Hi. So I'm sort of hoarse. I've lost my voice. I just wanted to comment. I'm a senior at South High, and I feel that it's a lot easier to talk to my male teachers, and this year I have 5 guy teachers out of 6 classes. So I just feel that, like, they're a lot easier to talk to, but then I grew up with my dad, and I grew up with a brother, so I feel once you get past, like, the middle school drama of, like, oh my god, my teacher's gonna rape me, then you get sort of, you can have a closer connection with them.
You felt that way in middle school?
No. Oh. High school changed. Because you have, like, all the rumors spreading in middle school, like, don't trust your guy teachers. But once you get to high school, you realize, okay, well, they're cooler to talk to. I mean, they almost, like, they're easier to talk to as, like, a friend standpoint rather than, like, on a superior level of you have to give them respect. But they give you the same respect as, like, a friend would.
Are they very, very
especially
careful?
Especially when you're in their car.
Are they very, very careful not to have, like, just one-on-one conversations with you?
See, I go in for personal tutoring in the morning, and I've never seen a problem.
You mean it, meet him at his house?
I've been in a classroom with just a guy teacher, and I've never seen a problem.
You've never felt like anything inappropriate was ever said between a teacher and you?
Nope.
I don't think that, I think the reason that the teachers are doing it or not because there's going to be a problem. Like, I can't, like, I think it's, we're going down the wrong avenue when we say when girls are alone with male teachers, there's going to be a problem. I think what the teachers are worried about is a parent, like some random parent, like this girl's parent, let's say she randomly says, oh yeah, I've been going in with, you know, Mr. Weiss to have tutoring every morning, twice a week. And her parent's like, what? What teacher is going to arrive at school a half hour early to give a student extra special, you know, tutoring or whatever, and then just raise it to the awareness of the principal, and then the teacher's got to deal with all that. Like the very first thing you said, Bert, is once that's on your reputation,
It's
on there. Like once they've looked into it, even if they find nothing wrong, 10 years later, if they look into it again, then the newspaper runs the article that says, and he was investigated for this 10 years ago. You know what I'm saying? And there's zero wrong. So why not have somebody, another teacher, sit in the back of the classroom and grade papers?
Well, and going on your theory about the parents, too, and even that other teacher, I think in society generally there is that attitude that men think about sex more than women, and that people would, if an accusation was made against a male teacher and an accusation was made against a female teacher, then more than likely with the male teacher, you're like, yeah, I should have known. Where with the female teacher, there's no way. You know what I mean? Like, I just think as a general rule, we see men and women differently.
I'm not going to be able to get to Stacy, but she was calling in to say that at her preschool, the guys aren't allowed to change the kids.
Really?
It has to be a woman. But most calls are coming in from guys looking to disagree with Sonya. Go ahead, Gene.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good morning.
I was just, like I was saying, I was listening, and, you know, I've been a professional teacher for about, you know, 6 years myself, and, I mean, I've dealt with plenty of kids, little girls to 18-year-old girls, and I've seen, you know, students act, you know, the same towards me as a female teacher. I've seen female teachers make little comments about the little high school students, you know, about, oh, did you see, you know, just throwing names out there, Timmy today in his basketball shorts, you know, and I've seen, you know, wow. I'm kind of young myself. I'm like 27, so I've seen, you know, teachers in the teachers' lounge do a lot of things that a lot of people don't really expect.
Are the female teachers more inappropriate when you guys are all around with each other and joking around and talking about the students? Are the women more inappropriate about the students than the guys are?
Well, I guess it all depends on the school you go to. I work in Metro Atlanta, so some teachers I do work with are a lot younger, and especially in high school, I know they've been hit on a couple of times.
They've been hit on by students?
I don't want to say all schools. I don't want to say, you know, I ain't going to put my school out there, but sometimes.
What were you saying, Jen?
They were hit on by students, or they were hitting on students?
they were getting hit on by students.
By
you know,
students.
Like how students made little comments and, you know, certain teachers will flirt with a student back. And then one student, you know, as far as going by, you know, male joking around too much with the student, it was actually the female teacher who was joking around too much with the student. The student took it the wrong way, told his mother, came up to the school, and it just, you know, blew up into, like how guys would say, it, well, I didn't mean it to be like that, but, you know.
Well, I think you... Well, I think you find that, I mean, a teacher's going to graduate college, let's say, what, 22, 23 years old, and then they go into a class, if they go to high school. So the senior in high school is only, like, 5 years younger than their teacher. So I think that's a whole different type of dynamic that where you could have problems.
Get it? The Burt Show.
I keep referring back to my Saturday night, and Jeff told me that I got to talk about this because I know I'm this guy for other people. So Saturday night, I wanted to go out and I wanted to go watch the basketball games, the Final Four. And there's a great new sports bar down by Phillips Arena called Stats. So I start calling around to a couple of different guys to go. And I don't think I realized it at the time until Jeff mentioned it and like focused on it more this morning, that you have people that you'll invite and people that you won't invite based on what you're doing and where you go. And I didn't realize that at the time, but I was doing just that because here was my thought process on it. Look, I know I had to get up early on Sunday because Stacy's away for the weekend. She's on a girls' weekend with her friends down in South Carolina. So I knew I was going to have to get up at 7 o'clock with the kids.
To be with the kids, right.
And 7 o'clock, that's really, really early. If you've been out until 4 in the morning, I just didn't want to do that. I didn't want to be hungover. I didn't want to be half myself. I wanted to enjoy my time with my kids. So I figured, okay, let's manipulate the night a little bit. Rather than go out at 10, I'll go out at 6. I'll call some of the guys. We'll be there for tip-off. First game's at like 6, 6:30. Second game's like at 8, 8:30. I'll be home by 11 o'clock. This is beautiful.
Perfect.
Couple of beers. Hang out with the guys. Watch game. Perfect. So I start calling around, and I call Dolvet because I know Dolvet doesn't drink that much. So I know I'm safe there, right?
Good with him. Okay.
Then I go through – I'm starting to go through the list of guys to call, and then I call my friend Don also, who – does have some discipline, and he normally likes to be home early also. So I'm starting to avoid some of the guys that I know that have a motor like I do. So I specifically don't
call him. The one to go into fifth gear immediately.
Totally. And my friend Justin is that guy. So I know that if I call Justin that shots are going to be poured, we're going to be out late, I'm going to be hungover.
You know, people talk about you like this.
I said that in the beginning. I know that. Like, I am to Justin.
I'm not inviting Bert.
Justin is to me as I am to Don, I think. Because Don knows when he goes out with me, it's going to be ugly.
He's preparing himself. He's like carb loading, eating pasta before he goes.
We're that guy. Justin is that guy. And if he goes out, he's like me. He's going into fifth gear. And there is nothing in between. There is nothing. So
it goes from idle to game on at 10.
Quickly.
In two shots.
But the problem is with this group of guys, we're all so tight that if you invite one, it's a chain. That even if you don't make the invitation, somebody else will.
The domino effect.
So I get a text from Justin going, hey, I didn't even text him. And I got one back from him basically saying, no, Dolvet texts me saying, I just invited Justin also.
God damn.
This is going to hurt.
Crap. Here we go. And you're starting at 6.
So then I text Justin. And we all go out, and we're all having a great time, and things are going fine. Justin's behaving. It really looks like I'm going to get home by 11 o'clock. And what do? Shots for everybody!
You turned into the guy.
I did.
And
yes.
How many beers were you into the night?
And it was stupid. And, I mean, I got home at 1, and Hollis, the 10-month-old, got up at 6.
That's your payback right there.
And it was an awful day yesterday. It was awful. Like, I wasn't even enjoying hanging out with the kids. I mean, just have a little bit of freaking discipline. But do you guys have somebody like that in your group? It was for me for a while. I'm good about it now with you.
Well, it's funny how
only
because
she had to get a new kidney in order to convince you to
sometimes,
leave her
home. Because even at our, we had just an office, we were at an office gathering. It was just a random cool event. Where we were just, you know, bringing all the office staff together and just hanging out. And I was there for, I don't know, Jeff and I left at the same time. I got there a little before Jeff, but I don't know if you noticed this, Jeff.
30 minutes, maybe?
Maybe. And so there's a bar area, and before I leave, there is a crowd surrounding the bar as if something was going on, and the something that was going on was Bert buying shots for everybody. And it wasn't oh, Melissa, it's good to see you. See you later. It was, not drinking again? Are you not drinking? What you drinking?
Did it
you
was have a Monday, right?
And it,
yeah.
And it was
so,
a Monday.
Oh, no. It
and
wasn't a Monday.
I didn't even
it was.
Get,
it was early in the... Oh, it was a Thursday.
Thursday.
It was a Thursday.
And
was,
I, didn't,
that's right.
I didn't even get out the door,
that.
So...
Yeah.
You're that guy. Even at the office party.
I just, you know, I have never, I'm just like the freshman in college. And just have never gotten over that mentality. It's embarrassing,
but you're
y'all.
Beautiful. If you need that guy, Bert's the best guy to have. You're the best one. Because you don't really.
It's embarrassing.
You know, you still can communicate, you know, where some guys in your position wouldn't even be able to get words out. So you can at least still communicate. But I mean.
Thanks for setting the bar high.
It is worth noting that particular night. That's it, you know, the night of the event, there was one of our staff members was supposed to keep count of how much Bert had to drink because we were going to talk about it on the air the next day.
So oh, that's right.
I get an update after the second shot, third shot, fourth shot, second beer, third shot, third beer, fourth beer, and then I don't hear anything else, like, for the rest of the night.
Oh, he got sucked into the black hole.
And I come into the next night, and I say to Bert, I'm like, oh, so you had four shots but only two beers? And you're like, no, I had two beers after the shots. And I was like, oh, my God, you killed him. Like, the count stopped. Like, that's the trick. If you got somebody keeping count for you, you just...
Give them the most alcohol.
You drink them under, and then you just keep going.
It's the Diddy vortex. You just get, like, caught up in it.
You're that guy.
I'm that guy. Yeah. I don't want to be it. You are what you are.
You're the
it's too late. It's too late
you,
to change
you've
now.
You've talked about this for how many
fine.
Years have we been
too,
on the air?
Yeah, it's
Six
too
years.
Late to change now.
That's fine.
Dude, yeah.
That's who you are.
I'll change in some other area. I'm stuck with this.
You're on The Bert Show.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. Kalshi. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
The Sherwin-Williams Summer Sale is here. Get 30% off select paints and stains or 35% off our newest product, Emerald Symmetry, July 17th through the 27th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.